Hello. Hello.
Hi.
My name's Kate Rolls, and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's latest artwork, One Another, at Trafalgar Square today. And the date today is the 12th of July 2009. And if I can please ask you to state your full name, your date of birth, and where you come from.
My full name is Susan Virginia Davis, but I use the name Ginny Davis every day and when I'm acting. I come from Wellsbourne in Warwickshire, and my date of birth is the 14th of April 1955.
And how are you today?
I'm really good, thank you.
Good. And what was it that made you apply to come on and be on One Another?
The very first time I heard about One Another, I saw it as an opportunity for me to publicise my work, because a couple of years ago I started writing and performing one-woman monologues for myself to perform, and I try my hardest to sort of to perform them wherever I can, all over the country, and ultimately I would hope all over the world. And I find that, well, as having to write and perform them, I also have to publicise them, and this struck me as a perfect opportunity to perform in public and therefore show as a wider audience than I would ever have access to what I do. Now that I'm about to perform on the plinth, I see it more as, in a sense, that motivation hasn't gone, but I'm really, really looking forward to simply doing a performance to what looks to me like a big audience in Trafalgar Square and on the web.
Fantastic. And do you have a particular subject matter that inspires your monologues?
Yes, definitely. It's motherhood. Modern motherhood is the overall, and family life. I take a comic look at family life. I make light of the whole matter, really, and with particular reference to the mother and the sort of multiple tasks that she has to perform. I don't play one of these juggling mothers. It's not that kind of story. It's kind of mothers having to be every man or every woman to everybody. And the people that mothers meet nowadays, who they don't always choose to meet, but get drawn to by their children's social lives, and how they have to deal with people that they perhaps wouldn't normally want to spend a lot of time with, but they have to. And things that happen in the lives of a mother that I think throughout my life as a mother have just made me laugh. So yes, motherhood generally is the theme.
Would you say they're based on yourself?
No, I don't think so. They're based on my observations, but the character I play is certainly not me. She is another mother. She's not a specific person at all, but not me.
Is your character consistent, or do you change?
Yes, I'd say she is consistent. Yes, yeah.
And so what are you going to do on the plinth today?
First of all, I'm going to sing a song that I first came across when somebody sent it to me as a clip on YouTube, and it's called The Mom Song, and it was first put onto YouTube by an American woman called Anna Rowfriend, and it perfectly encapsulates the mother's frustration at her teenage child when she's trying to get them out and off for the day. And that's sung to the tune of the William Tell Overture. And then I'm going to perform most of the first play that I wrote, which is called 10 Days That Shook the Kitchen. But before we get to the punchline, I'm going to then move to some extracts from the second show that I wrote, which is called Family Matters. Family Matters is a follow-up play to 10 Days That Shook the Kitchen. It is a sequel, but it's not a play that needs to have been seen, that audiences have to have seen 10 Days That Shook the Kitchen beforehand in order to enjoy. You can see either of them at any time, they're fine.
And were you saying that they were comedies?
Or yeah. Yes. I hope.
I'm really fascinated. So you're going to perform the monologue and you're going to sing.
Yes.
How do you think your audience will react?
I expect they will. I don't think they will be as vocal as I would want them to be. In a theatre, I think, feed off the laughter of the audience. I think the shows are quite consistent when I perform them to a sort of enclosed audience, but I think to a roving, open-air audience, I think I can't expect people to stay for the whole hour, and I also can't expect there to be that sort of community of spirit of let's laugh, because we all found that funny. So I hope, I'm also not expecting them to stay and watch the whole thing, so I've actually deliberately cut it into sections so that people could perhaps watch 5 minutes and that will be the end of that section. So I think I have to go on to it, assuming I'm going to get no reaction at all. If I do get any reaction that I enjoy, then I'll take that as a massive bonus.
Have you got any influences in your work of other artists or writers that you'd like to mention that have inspired you?
Actually, no, I haven't. I've always enjoyed the work of French and Saunders. I think they're very, very funny, particularly Jennifer Saunders. I think she's a very, very funny woman and a very funny writer. I can't say... I think the trouble with the word influence is that it implies that you're trying to imitate a style, and I definitely haven't tried to imitate a style. I don't think I'm familiar enough with anybody else's style in order to be that clever. So this is just what I do. Yeah.
And who are you doing this for today?
I think if I'm completely honest, I'm doing it for me, which is a very selfish motivation. But it is for me. I mean, the bigger picture is that I love to make people laugh. And if this in any way helps promote my work and helps me take it to a wider audience, then, and that thereby I do cheer people up, make them think, gosh, that's like me, wow, I didn't know anybody else thought like that, and oh, it's so funny, then it's for them too, obviously, because that's the ultimate aim. The ultimate aim of what I do is to make people happy and to make them laugh. I think today is a step on the way to that.
And what do you think is important about your work?
I'm not sure anything's important about it at all. I don't think it is important. It fulfills me. So to that extent, it is important to me. But I think important is the wrong word. I don't think it is important.
Would you say it's political?
No. Not at all. No.
Would you describe yourself as a feminist?
No, I wouldn't. No.
And can I ask you to talk a bit about what's important in your life at the moment?
My family are the most important people in my life. And they, to some extent, are they the inspiration? No, they're not the inspiration, they're the vehicle to the inspiration. I think... the character I play is very much sort of put upon and rather messed around by other people who meet her, and there's a degree of a sense of hopelessness about her and how can I win in this situation, and I wouldn't say that that's those are feelings that my family give me, but I think that mothers, I'm a daughter, I'm an aunt, I'm a cousin, family is the most important thing to me, closely followed by my dogs and my work, which is what excites me in a more intellectual way.
And can you tell me a little bit more about your social background?
Guess. Socially, I'm a Warwickshire housewife. I'm very lucky. I haven't had to work since I had my children. My elder daughter's now 16. I think I probably live a very blessed life compared to a lot of people in England. I live in a beautiful part of the country. I am lucky that I have the time to spend to devote to this, which is I do now call it work actually. Socially, I mix with a worryingly large number of people like me. and I don't think I can, and think that probably answers the question. I'm not going to go into education unless you force me to.
Did you study performance?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. So, yeah, that will show.
Did you study?
Yes, I did.
What did you study?
Well, I've done lots of things, really, and never settled to any of them. My first career was as a linguist. I trained I worked as a translator of Spanish and French. And I decided then I didn't want to go abroad. And so I stopped doing that and started to work for a lawyer, a solicitor who did criminal law, and I loved it. And so I went back to university and read law, having said I wasn't going to talk about education. and then I trained and qualified as a barrister, which I did for not long enough, really, but then I became pregnant with my first baby and decided not to go back to work because somebody had to look after her and I felt it had to be me, wanted it to be me.
And can you tell me a little bit about the character, the central character in your monologue?
Her name is Ruth Rich. She is a middle-class mother of three children, so she couldn't possibly be me. I think she's probably not very bright, but she is, and she's not terribly inquiring. I think she takes life as she finds it. She doesn't really analyse things too much. And I think that is probably what saves her, really, because I think if she did analyse her life, although to some people it might look like a charmed life, she has got one particularly unpleasant friend who makes her feel fairly rubbish the whole time. And certainly in part two, her children and her husband really gets her down in part one. In part two, her children, I think, present challenges because they are then teenagers. So there are a lot of people sort of... I think Ruth reacts to people. She's not a terribly... She doesn't set things going. She just reacts to them as they hit her in the face, usually. With a degree of humour and... I think she's a nice person. But I sometimes find her slightly irritating. She's a bit too jolly. But she's got a degree of... There's some wisdom behind the eyes, I think. Yeah.
And let me see. What impact do you think standing on the plinth have?
To me?
To you and to a wider sense, I suppose.
I'm hoping it won't have any impact to me at all in the short term because I don't want it to distract me from what I've got to do because I have got to deliver a one-hour monologue and that is a challenge. And I'm really hoping that I go away from it thinking, wow, that was fantastic. And I did a good show, because that's really what I want to have done today. The impact on other people initially will be visual, I'm sure. So they'll see a figure dressed in white who's going to, I hope I'll make them stop for a bit and think, well, that was a song. And my Elvis Presley impression, I think, might... it's an awful image of a 54-year-old woman doing an Elvis Presley impression. It's good. I hope they just see the funny side of it, really. But I think initially it'll be a visual thing. If they stop and listen, then I don't know. It depends who they are. Some people, a lot of people think, I don't know what this is about. This doesn't relate to me at all. Because normally, see, I do my shows to people who've seen it and chosen to go to it because they think that appeals to me. Out here, there are people who are just passing by who would never go within a million miles of a show about a middle-class mother. And I think they'll, you know, a lot of them are going to think, what's this about? No, it's not me. And they won't like it. There may be the odd middle-class mother there who might, I hope. So, but yeah, I think initially it'll be visual.
Can you tell me a bit about... your performances that you've done in the past or any up and coming?
Yeah, I first performed the first show in October 2007 and I was pleased with the way it went and so took a gamble really and a slice of a legacy that my father had left for me and decided I wanted to buy a memory and bought myself a space at the Edinburgh Fringe last summer. And that, I think, was very much a springboard. Before I went to Edinburgh, I had done the show at one or two school PTA events. Since coming back from Edinburgh, because it got some good reviews, which I was really pleased with, I think that that has helped me get better and more bookings. And I still go around schools. Schools are very, very, very good audiences because they're all parents. And those are the people who really get what I'm on about best. I've performed in one or two theatres. I've performed at a literary festival. I'd love to perform to a wider geographical scale. I'd love to take the show to America. I'd love to see just what the Americans make of it, whether it is their humour. Oh, I want it to be. I want them to find it funny, but I think that would be the height of my ambition. I think, you know, some American promoter somewhere would say, yes, come and do it there. We'll love it. You know, that would be an adventure, which was what I started off with. I wanted an adventure.
And what was it that made you begin to write initially?
Well, I think this is a very sort of predictable answer. I think I always have written. I've always enjoyed language, being a translator, being a lawyer. It's all about communication and language. I love the English language. I love foreign languages too, but I like vocabulary. I love it when I hear a new word or a new choice of words. I think, oh, that's new. And I think I always have written little different things. At school, I loved writing letters. Then my family, we quite often write little poems for each other. Then I started writing sketches, which is where this show first started, as just a sketch. The very first scene was the very first sketch I ever wrote. And then it sort of developed. And now I sort of write, sadly, I've written part three already, although it's not ready to perform yet, and I write short stories too. So I think I'm going to write thing. It's, I'm going to be more specific about what I write.
And how do you fit it all in?
I think neglect, all the other things I should be doing. I think that, food, that doesn't play a huge part in our lives. I can. My children are both at school when everybody else has gone out for the day. I'm in charge of my time, and so I try to do it, but it overlaps desperately, terribly. It overlaps, and I'm often on the computer when I shouldn't be thinking about things or organising things, doing the wretched publicity. there's room for it.
And what's your experience of being a one-woman performer, writing and performing your own material? How do you find that in the industry?
I quite like that. I like the non-reliance on other people. I can rehearse when I like. I haven't got to. The trouble now is that because I'm quite familiar with the material, I actually need probably the drive of other people to say, we're going to rehearse, rather than me thinking, I'm going to rehearse. Oh, no, I'm not. You know, I have to be quite disciplined about it, but I like the fact that I only have myself to rely on or let myself down. Within the industry, I don't know. I mean, it's just, because I don't know what the alternative is. I've never acted on this scale, you know, which I think is professional, with other actors, so I don't know what the comparison is. Sometimes it's a bit of a drag having the whole thing to do yourself, but then I don't do it all myself because I have people who help me with the sound a lot. I mean, I've got, it actually is not possible to be a one-woman show. I'm a one-woman performer with a lot of backup help and support.
and trying to think what we haven't covered, really. Is there anything else that you'd like to add about standing on the plinth today and the opportunity to be a work of art yourself? Do you already consider yourself a work of art?
No, I'm afraid I don't consider myself a work of art. Oh, somebody at the door. Well, I saw Anthony Gormley on the radio, on the television, and so he said that he'd been asked about 30 times, is this art? And he said, well, really, does it matter? It is art. It's an artistic form. I don't think... and I think I can see that it is fine art to an extent. It's not... I'm not... It's, you know, it is a form of performing arts put into the context of fine art. I don't think I think about that too deeply, really. It's there. Somebody else can analyse it. I don't think... I think, in a sense, I agree with Anthony Gormley. Does it matter? It's there. Enjoy it. I mean, visual art is there to be enjoyed, and that's all I'm trying to be part of. I just want it to be good.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.